Two new teams we hadn't seen in a while. Yeah. And for me, that's always good. You know, I was tired of seeing the Patriots, and I was tired of seeing Tom Brady. Sometimes, you know, you just see the same team.
I was really tired of seeing Tom Brady. Okay, I was really over that.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, Cincinnati, you've never seen, I guess, in that, though.
No.
Okay.
So. Or the Rams. These Rams. So,
So, well, we just won't debate on who you're for, because I already know you said.
Yeah, but I just want to see a good game. You know, sometimes they can be lopsided.
Yeah, they can.
Well, by the time you get to halftime, you're like, you know what, this is over. Yeah. And at that point, it's like, So, you know, you just want to see a good game.
Well, hopefully it will be, like we experienced, you know, for the weeks leading up to this, you know.
Yeah, I just don't want it to be by the halftime, it's
over. A complete blowout.
You know, by halftime, you ready to
flip.
Boring.
Oh, I might tune in for a few minutes.
Because I barely watch basketball anymore these days. So after the Super Bowl, I think sports in general takes a dip in a few ways.
Have you watched the Olympics?
I've watched it on the news, but I really hadn't watched it.
It's different. I mean, they have some really different, unusual things.
Yeah.
And I'm just really happy to see the black sister, that bless her heart, in speed skating or something like that. I thought I was seeing things at first.
I said, is that a black woman?
Is it? You know, some stuff you haven't seen, it's like foreign to your eyeballs. I'm like, this is the skating her off. She is really somebody. Mm-hmm. And hopefully she's inspirational for the young ones out there.
Always. Oh, yeah.
And, but it's, you know, it's, you know, some of it is okay.
Yeah.
But I hadn't sat and watched it endlessly like some have.
Yeah.
How you feel about track and field?
I love track and field.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it's, you know, it's, you know, more of us out there being able to represent, you know, it just looks like it's a complete Olympics. But that's one of my, because I ran track and field, so yeah.
Well, how do you feel about women's gymnastics at Fisk University?
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
It's different.
Yes. Because
it's going to bring something different to the campus.
It is.
And to
it
the
is.
Athletic department, so yeah.
And on Friday, I was asked to come to the launching of this. Fisk University announced with a board of trustees and the president and the campus departments, the first Fisk will be the first HBCU to have a world-class women's artistic gymnastics program to begin in fall of 2022. So, and university joins about 100 other schools throughout the U.S. With a competitive gymnastics program.
Amen.
So TSU has the Tiger Bells, mm-hmm. and we'll have whatever this will be here.
Yeah.
I don't see a name yet. Dr. Newkirk, president of university, said, "This is a momentous occasion for our beloved university as we continue to meet the academic aspirations of our students and our student athletes. And our revered institution," he goes on to say, "is prepared to nurture the next generation of competitive and award-winning Fisk gymnasts." That was pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah, it was.
I think it may bring preferably more, it could bring with its scholarships and scholarship opportunities.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. There are a lot of...
And visibility.
Yeah, a lot of young women of color who are involved in gymnastics, a lot.
Yeah. And they will learn, though, it's not like dancing on the dance floor stuff, mm-hmm. you know, shaking your booty and all that. It's real performance and professionalism.
That is a difficult sport right there.
Yeah.
It is.
Very much so. So we wish them well and see how things go, and hopefully everything will turn out really good for the program and the young ladies representing represent the region, and We'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. Now, speaking of sports, I want to throw that in. Let me see. Oh, it's 7:30. I'll have some news come from the community from Secretary of State Trey Hargett. And I do want to thank him for, in advance of this short story I'm getting from him, that he's one of the very, very few in the current administration that will grant an interview to a non-conservative to the show. So I just want to thank him for that. He's going to talk about the need for more poll workers. They're recruiting poll workers now. And very much wanted that information included for
voting.
For yes.
Make sure.
Yes. Of course.
For voting.
And you know, we must be,
you know, the economy, you know, people might not quite get it. You never know who's
a poll?
Listening. You know, yeah. When you say poll, people might think, you know, for voting. You know, just
oh,
make sure.
You mean okay.
Yeah. Because you just, you know, people might be doing something else. All they hear is poll and looking for,
yes,
and hiring or look, you know.
Oh,
just,
and
yeah, they might catch bits and pieces. Yeah, yeah.
What did she say? I have been accused of that before. I'm like, is that what you heard? Okay, where your mind? Anyway, so we'll hear from him. Let's see what we got here in the news. Out of Athens, Tennessee, parents, teachers, and students packed a crowded meeting of the McMinn County School Board to talk about Mouse, a Pulitzer Prize-winning graphic novel the board banned from its curricula last month. The board held firm, offering a previous explanation that its members found the book inappropriate because of swear words and an image of a nude cartoon mouse. Have you been online lately? Okay, I'm just saying. The board's original decision has sparked an international attention, renewing concerns about book bans and the growing threat of anti-Semitism. Sales of the book have soared, which generally happens when you ban a book, and those speaking out include Jewish parents who say they never thought they'd need to talk about their cultural heritage at a school board meeting. Okay, so we have a culture war against heritage. You all are always disgruntled. You disgruntled people find something to be disgruntled about. Sowing seeds of discord. My, my. That's in the scripture somewhere. I know y'all know. Bible readers know. Out of Memphis, two men charged with fatally shooting rapper Young Dolph in a daylight ambush at a Tennessee cookie shop have pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder and other charges. Lawyers for Justin Johnson and Cornelius Smith entered the pleas Friday in Shelby County Criminal Court in Memphis. Smith told Judge Lee Coffey that he had hired a private lawyer. Coffey appointed an attorney for Johnson, who said he could not afford one. Johnson and Smith were indicted in January in the November 17th killing of 36-year-old Young Dolph, whose real name is Adolph Thornton Jr. Now, out of Nashville, do you know Young Dolph? Do you know him?
I don't, but I've heard of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he's pretty famous.
He's not connected to Nashville in any way. Okay. Out of Nashville, the FBI is seeking help from the public in identifying a man who has robbed several banks in Tennessee and Alabama since December.
People still doing that?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, cameras everywhere, fingerprints
wow.
and stuff. Yeah, they still are, you know, stealing money.
I'm not saying that like it's something, but I'm just saying with all the technology and all the
you
ways
would
to get
think
caught,
a lot of
yeah.
things would stop people.
Like, wow.
But
okay.
it's not. Mm. Nothing is stopping them at all. I mean, nothing. The FBI says the suspect was disguised in a mask and wore different clothes during each robbery. Oh, so he switches outfits, mm-hmm. thinking nobody's going to notice. Like the boy that...
Yeah.
went to the people's door in the shark outfit, dinosaur outfit. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, somebody gonna tell on you. You're too big to be wearing that. The FBI said the suspect is a bald white man, about 26 years old to 40 years old, standing between 5'6" tall and 5'10". And he weighs about 160 to 190 pounds. He is suspected of robbing banks in the Tennessee cities of Knoxville, Nashville, and Murfreesboro, and the Alabama cities of Elkmont and Athens. And he shall be caught. Mm-hmm. Two-state manhunt for you? Oh, you're going down. Anybody going to a bank with a disguise on? People are just going to call the police in general. This a man, he with his wig on sideways. Yeah, mustache crooked. Oh, yeah, they ain't going to be watching for you. Have you been paying attention to this goofy truck protest thing?
I have.
And I'm just like...
Ridiculous.
It's like really... You have nothing but time on your hands.
They're protesting themselves, actually.
It's just silly.
When you get finished protesting and you go somewhere to go eat or to go shopping because you need things for your own home.
It takes money.
And you're paying more for your own stuff.
And they don't care.
So, I mean...
That'll be something else to be disgruntled with.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, my God. CNN, in their story, says while protests by truckers and others against COVID mandates continue to occupy Canada's capital, block U.S.-Canada border crossings, and add to supply chain headaches, weighing in will be Kentucky's own Senator Rand Paul.
The millionaire himself.
Right. Yeah, he's got to be on the sidelines saying, Rand Paul said he hosts trucker protests. Come to the United States, he says. This weekend.
Block his house.
Yes, he wants it this weekend.
Do it right on his
street. Clog up the U.S. major U.S. cities.
Block his street.
Clog it up.
Stop him from going into
work. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
Rand Paul is asking for clog. He's not asking for Drano. He's asking for y'all to clog it. And then he can complain about supply chain issues and the economy and inflation. Yeah, it's Joe Biden's fault. I can hear it now. Ask by the Daily Signal about his thoughts on the convoy and the potential for it to spill over into Los Angeles, home of today's Super Bowl, or into the nation's capital. Paul said this week that it'd be great if the mandate truck-inspired protests popped up in the United States that clog up everything, he said. Just clog it up. Throw some grease down the drain, baby, and clog it up. It just is too much. You know, he would be the first one singing like a canary. Where were you in Black Lives Matter and you sealed the street? You wanted to shoot and change the laws and you can run over people when black people protest. Oh, if that would have been black truckers...
They know this.
Help us, Jesus.
And that's why I can't believe this.
We're praying for you.
We need some real reporters out there to ask the question like you just asked. We're like, where were you when, you know, this lady's got to say whatever.
The ones that the Fox News Network hosts have just poured 65,000 gallons of gas on this
What
thing.
Is wrong with the people who watch Fox? I don't get it. Is there any a time when common sense kicks in? Is there ever...
Okay, let me move on, because you know that's one of them questions that'll never be answered. Paul said he's all for it, and he, of course, as many know, is a longtime opponent to masking and vaccine mandates, and he said civil disobedience is a time-honored tradition in our country, from slavery to civil rights to you name it. Peaceful protest... Clog things up. Make people think about the mandates. I hope the truckers do come to America, and I hope they clog up the cities. The convoy in Canada, which started as a protest of U.S. and Canadian rules requiring truckers crossing the border to be fully vaccinated, has disrupted the capital, Ottawa, as part of a broader movement against mandates. the threat of truckers potentially clogging U.S. roads was elevated this later on this week when the Department of Homeland Security distributed a bulletin to law enforcement agencies. Oh, Lord, watch for the clogging. DHS warned that a convoy of protesting truckers will potentially begin in California as early as mid-February, which is right about now. And it should arrive in Washington, D.C. as late as mid-March. Meanwhile, the Canadian protests are already affecting Americans and the U.S. economy. Well, go figure. Workers in Michigan, in the Michigan auto industry, who don't need this right now, could lose up to $51 million in wages this week due to that trucker protest. And he says, bring it on.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a time out before my head explodes. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
What's the 411 with Sharon
K. Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon K. is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This Valentine weekend on Blue Simon City, the late, great Marvin Sees.
And I refuse to be degraded.
Degraded? Not Marvin. His birthday is next week, so we're showing Marvin much love. Marvin is also performing one of his past performances live this weekend. And we'll play the best in love, Southern Soul, and old school blues. Join me, Rosina Bailey, this Valentine's weekend right here. Catch Blue Simon City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from the Frist Art Museum, now presenting an exhibition of works by Nashville-based artist Alexander Bryant, addressing themes of perseverance, family, economic inequality, and community activism. This multimedia exposition includes photography, video, wheat paste murals, and a concrete installation piece created exclusively for this show. The Frist is open Thursdays through Sundays, and the exhibition is on view through May 1st. Learn more about the expositions and programs at fristartmuseum.org.
We've all seen it. People who thought COVID was a myth.
I thought the vaccine was a hoax.
It's hard to breathe.
It don't try to kill you in just one way. It try to kill you in multiple ways.
Now her whole family has tested positive for COVID-19.
That vaccine could have stopped all of this.
I would definitely have opted to get it.
If they're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. See?
Call the COVID-19 hotline at 1-800-232-0233.
Pass it on.
Here's a short quiz. Who won Best Actress last year? Who won the World Series 2 years ago? And finally, name your favorite teacher.
Pass it on.
Now, I'm guessing that the last question was the easiest. Why is that? Because that person made a difference in your life. So, go ahead and make a difference. Because making a difference is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Green, green, green. It's your home, it's your dream. Great on testing, keep it healthy and clean. Make it green, green, green.
Making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Testing for radon is easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA. This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, Nashville. Oh, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, isn't it? Pressure? Yes, are you feeling it?
Not really.
You already got your stuff for your wife?
No, basically, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to help you. Because yeah. It's all in the stores.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, about halfway through the day, the candy ought to go down about 50%. Yeah. Wait till sale comes. And you'll see in my candy jar on my desk, mm-hmm. I go from jelly beans to sweet tarts. Okay. Yes, sweet tarts. Okay. The sweet tart hearts, because they're going to be on sale.
The stores look a little full this year.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see, normally, the shelves are empty, but no, stuff is still on the shelves.
Well, it is, but in certain stores.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, it just depends on the store.
Okay.
But everybody was buying it when the grocery store yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't usually go to Kroger's, but I did. And there's some of their shelves was empty. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are y'all expecting? Somebody at your house buying up everything. All the wings and chips and everything.
Got those vaccines. Yeah.
Buying up everything. And speaking of that, I'm going to say this real quick, and then we're going to hear from the Secretary of State. Those N95 masks mm-hmm. that was being distributed?
I've been looking for those, yeah.
You can't find them. Because I was talking with the lady at the store yesterday that worked at the store. And she's like, she's late. I'm like, really? And I said, well, how was that? the hundreds of millions of these things being distributed.
For people who don't want to wear them, right?
Right. Yeah. She told me a couple scenarios mm-hmm. about what happened at their store and how they ran out immediately. In one situation, a family of about five people, they all came in together first. Mm-hmm. And got there
separately.
Three, mm-hmm. or whatever the number was, and then they show up separately, each individual, and then they come through again. Mm-hmm. Being greedy, you all are greedy to be the same people complaining about the mandate and the whole thing. You're greedy.
Exactly.
That's why everybody can't have anything.
And that's why it's a lie to say that people don't want to get vaccinated and don't want the mask.
Man, they greed.
It's
a lie.
Because, that's a small chunk of people. Because, look at the lines that it took for people to get vaccinated. Look at the lines it took for people to get their tests. Look at how long you had to wait to get the at-home COVID kits, and now look at the mass. So this thing about people not wanting to get vaccinated and freedom and all this stuff.
They're getting
the mask. Yeah.
They're getting the mask and the kids. They're getting everything. Just gimme, gimme.
Yeah, because if people didn't have a mask by now, I mean, come on, really?
Well, and so that would mean when they ordered the, because I haven't got my test kits yet.
Yeah, I got mine 3 weeks ago.
Really? Mm-hmm. Somebody must have took them.
Yeah.
Because I did not get mine.
Yeah.
And, that's probably one of them bootleg things.
So was that just one kit per family ever or one per month?
I think it's one per month. Okay. But these...
It's time for me to re-up.
Yeah.
I want it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back up on there and hit the button again.
Yeah.
Because mine never came. Unless, the Postal Service said delay all stuff. I don't know. But,
Or Mr. Postman. I'm just saying.
Hijacking the kids. I mean, it's just absolutely no telling. And, the folks who are anti-everything are gobbling up the stuff. I'm like,
exactly.
What is wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
it's just fake. So much buffoonery. I tell you, y'all are just so hilarious. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
You can't tear your hair out. You can't have a nervous breakdown. You can't stress out. It's just some of this foolishness, man-made insanity. It's just, y'all are just, that's all you can do after almost 3 years of dealing with spam that way. It's like, God, these people just are out of control. Anyway, Okay, we have news from the community. You know, I like to have my news from the community and see what the good people of the community are up to. And this piece of news from the community is actually for the community. And let's get the news from the Secretary of State's office. The news from the community segment is from the Secretary of State, Tennessee Secretary of State, Trey Hargett. And he always brings such fresh information out of the Secretary of State's office. So important a job that those folks up there do. And I do know that I saw information that your office was recruiting for poll workers. And I'm glad to have an opportunity to talk to you about this so you can tell our WFSK audience, in case some of them are interested, exactly who should apply.
Well, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity, Kay, because whenever you have a statewide election, it takes over 17,000 people across the state to help us conduct those elections. And, you know, we need people who will come and help us work early voting, who can help us work on election day, and in many cases help us prior to the voting period, getting absentee ballots out the door, things like that. So we're asking Tennesseans to be a hero and be a poll worker. And, you know, because frankly, a lot of people don't understand that if we don't have enough poll workers, then we can't have the precincts that we have where people are able to walk in, cast their vote in a decent amount of time, and leave. And it takes all of us. It takes Democrats. It takes Republicans. It takes people in every community throughout this city and county who will step up and help us do this.
Is there a part of the state where the need is the greatest? And how do we look here in Nashville?
You know, Davidson County's done a really good job in the past of recruiting poll workers, but here's the thing. You never know what could happen. Like, we didn't know with this pandemic how many people would choose not to work and decide that they were going to stay home. And so we also don't know that, you know, we could get to early voting later this year. And you know, we have a lot of people get sick, and we got to have a bench of people who are prepared to come work. So, you know, it really varies. Davidson County, like I said, places a great emphasis on recruiting a lot of poll workers. But we want to make sure that we've got more than enough. And so I just want to encourage people, if you have a day on election day that you can commit to come and help, you know, we need you.
And is there any pay in this, or is this just a voluntary effort?
No, it's not voluntary. You are paid, and you are trained. So, you know, there's training. I know a lot of people kind of get skittish and think, well, gosh, I don't know enough about that. I wouldn't know how to help. And, you know, what I want to assure everybody is you get the training you need to do the job that needs to be done at the polls. We're not going to put you in a Davidson County or no election commission in the state is going to put you in a position where you don't know what you're doing.
Okay, and what are the requirements?
Well, really the requirements are anybody over the age of 16 can help. But also, if you're over the age of 18, we do need you to be a registered voter in that county. So, you know, the best thing you can bring outside of those two things is a positive attitude and a willingness to help others.
Okay. And you can't be connected to a political candidate by any means, right?
That's right. So, you know, if you have a relative who is on the ballot, you can't work the polls. Also, if you're a government employee, you can work. But if your supervisor, you know, for example, if you work for the sheriff, you work for the mayor, or what have you, and your supervisor or the person you report to is on the ballot, then you can't work the polls either.
Okay.
But there's a lot of government employees out there that don't have that issue, and we have found some of our best workers come from people who already work in government.
Okay. Do they need to ask or let their supervisors know in advance?
Well, I certainly would, because if you're planning on taking that day or those days off to help, then you need to let them know and make sure it's okay with them.
Okay. And how much time would you have to devote to this?
You know, different jobs are different. You know, if you're only working election day, typically you're getting to the polls probably at 6, you know, 6 a.m., 6:30 that morning. The polls close at 7 p.m. Central Time. And depending on, you know, how quickly the polls are able to be closed down and votes tabulated at those respective precincts, you know, and the job that you have, you might be done by 7:30, you might be done by 8:30.
Can you just...
So it is a long day, but yeah. I tell you what, it goes by quickly.
Yeah.
Because you get to see people from all across the community that you might not normally see.
Yeah.
You make a lot of great friends. And the coolest part is you leave that evening knowing that you played a central part in our electoral process.
And lastly, can you just give me, in the nutshell, on what some of the positions, poll worker jobs would be?
Absolutely. You know, so we'll... You know, the County Election Commission will need to have people who will get out of, you know, who help greet the voters as they come in. They'll help you check in, you know, at the polls. They might walk you from one station to another. And, you know, and heck, there's going to be some workers part of your duty at some times during the day. They may just be handing somebody an I voted sticker as you leave. So, you know, and they try and rotate you a little bit, too, to make sure nobody has to do the same thing all day long. So, but the key is you'll get the training you need.
Okay. And if you want to apply, best place to do it?
I got two options for you. Go to our website at govote10.gov, and you'll see the Be an Election Hero, Be a Poll Worker banner, and you can click on that, and it'll take you to a form that we'll send to the local election commission.
Okay.
Or you're welcome to contact your county election commission directly and talk to them.
Excellent. Secretary of State Trey Hargett, thank you so much for this valuable information. I do hope some of the listening audience takes you up on what you shared with us today, and thank you very much for your time. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
You too. All right, so you all, you heard it. Now, you got to do it. As you know, this stuff is crucial. It is down to crunch time, like serious business crunch time. So if you're a poll worker, you can see with your own eyes. You ain't have to hear nothing. No false rumors and gossip and conspiracy theories and innuendo. You'll see it yourself. And, you know, because folks rewrite history like crazy. Anyway, but check on that at the Secretary of State's office. Might be a very interesting learning experience for many of you. Okay, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
To give your opinion today, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Tune in every Monday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. during this month for our special Black History Month programming. WFSK's one-hour specials include historic figures and places in both music, civil rights, politics, and education as we celebrate Black culture on WFSK at historic Fisk University. That's Monday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. on Jazzy 88, Nashville's jazz station.
Support for WFSK comes from the Frist Art Museum, now presenting an exhibition of works by Nashville-based artist Alexander Bryant, addressing themes of perseverance, family, economic inequality, and community activism. This multimedia exposition includes photography, video, wheat-based murals, and a concrete installation piece created exclusively for this show. The Frist is open Thursdays through Saturdays.
Sundays, and the exhibition is on view through May 1st. Learn more about the expositions and programs at fristartmuseum.org.
Meet Dave. Dave is not so smart. He makes bad decisions, like texting and driving, and listening to whatever this is. But the worst part about Dave is you never saw him coming. So buckle up. Wearing your seatbelt can help protect you from...
Oh, my bad, brah.
Dave. And it's the law. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Hi, I'm Albert Pujols.
And I'm Deidre Pujols. We need your help to strike out slavery. Today, millions of people are caught in this nightmare of violence, fraud, and coercion. Human trafficking is happening in our communities and around the world, and we need to act right now.
So we are sending out this SOS, a call for your help in the fight for freedom. To find out more, go to strikeoutslavery.com.
We are the entertainment you love and information that shapes your day. We are your lifeline. We are your companion. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And it's been a while since I reminded you all to get your church announcements in. And X, I know you are going to tell Misha to get her church announcements
in. I will.
Okay.
I'll tell her, yeah.
Because I know there's going to be programs coming. I'm just conscious of things, y'all. You know, I love you. Okay. Tomorrow's Black History Program, WFSK, 7 o'clock, Heavenly Sight, features stories on blind black gospel singers. So, that's coming up Monday night at 7. And I'm sure some of them you're probably familiar with, you know, play them. One is a traditional thing. That's my favorite. I don't care about the hip-hop Sunday stuff, but when you play those old ones, you know, I have to sing a little bit.
A lot of people like it, yeah.
So what Sunday is that?
Fourth.
Okay.
That's next week, yeah.
Well, could you slide in a few more older ones?
Depending on that sound.
Because it just doesn't have the same substance as today's stuff.
Yeah.
Today's stuff sounds just like hip-hop.
Borderline.
And R&B, yeah. It's like, it didn't take me to the throne room and all that.
It's a lot of people pushing the envelope.
Yeah, well.
Even with their album covers, I'm like, ooh, is this gospel?
Well, that's the new gospel. That's the new version. Anyway, our 8 o'clock book today is entitled The Short Bible, A Chronological Summary of the Old and New Testament. It is condensed, organized, and explained by Peter J. Bylsma. And he has served 10 years in Christian agencies before working 30 years in government in positions at international, federal, state, and local levels. And he's a researcher, and he says he researches in a nonpartisan manner. So.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, we'll see. The Short Bible. And he condensed. He really condensed this down.
Will it be as fruitful as the last year we talked about that Old Testament?
Oh, I don't know. That was so. I would have to really prepare for him.
Yeah.
Although it was a good discussion, but he was so intensely detailed that I was not prepared for that. Oh, and if you want to send your church announcements in for my Sunday church announcements, You can email them, please, to psawfsk@fisk.edu, and we shall make sure that your announcement gets mentioned in the Sunday morning church announcements. Now, let me see what we had coming up to the top of the hour. I was hearing about the need for poll workers for the Secretary of State's office for elections, upcoming elections, and back on voting. With the November elections creeping up and Republicans imposing new restrictions on ballot access, President Biden has no easy options for safeguarding voting rights, despite using rising pressure from frustrated activists. That's why being a poll worker is important, see. You can cut some of that stuff in half. If you watch it too and you say they're lying, look at all this stuff over here. I mean, if you see something, say something. And if something's a lie, you got to tell.
And it only works when we don't participate. You know?
Well, I mean, at this level, well, they're trying to fix it where no one participates. You fix the game where you only win.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's not a game.
That's what I'm saying. Like
it's not even an election.
Like mail-in ballots. Like, when they passed that rule, they thought it was going to help them. But then when we start using it, then all of a sudden it was a problem. So if we become poll workers as well, so we can watch
and see all of how things go.
Everything that they do.
Because somebody got to watch the people that's doing the.
So all we need to do is be there.
Somebody got to watch them.
They'll stop that. So, yeah, I mean, that's how you beat them. Is like, you know, oh, thank you. Yeah, okay, yeah, let's go watch the polls. Because we see the shenanigans going on.
Yeah, you get the training.
With the butthurt emails. So, yeah, we should be more active as well.
If they get the training, they will understand better.
Yes.
When they hear complete and total foolishness.
Exactly.
And they will know a lie, and they probably know one now.
Yeah, they do.
But anyway, I just, you know, this state hasn't been touched by human hands yet because it is a completely red state,
mm-hmm.
and it has not been touched. So that's why there's been no real super dramatic changes here in the state of Tennessee. Had we had a Democratic anything, it would have instantly, you know, so.
Been shenanigans.
Oh, beyond the pale. But anyway, further into the story, unlike issues such as immigration or environmental protection, the White House has little leverage on voting rights without congressional action. That has advocates worried. There's not enough time to fight back against laws and policies in the states that make it harder to vote. Democrats have been unsuccessful at changing Senate rules to allow the slim Democratic majority in the chamber to pass new voting rights laws without GOP support. Now, as I think in my thought processes, while folks are trying to really truthfully keep black folks from voting, I mean, just can we please call this what it is? So knowing that is the case, and you're going to end up disenfranchising not just black people, you're going to disenfranchise
your own voters.
A lot of people.
Your own voters.
Yes.
They didn't learn that in Georgia.
No.
Okay. They didn't learn that
so
in Arizona.
So if you're blocking us, you're going to block them. And, you know, unless there's a special lane for if you're going to vote for a certain party, then you can get in automatically, you know, like the VIP room. I mean, you know, unless they're going to do that, then people in rural counties or people, now they'll probably make it.
Those people who
can vote 24/7. Yeah, they'll
those
be
people
able to
who
vote.
Use mail-in voting in those rural counties, and, you know, now they can't do it.
Well, and that's the way it goes when you plot and plan.
Yeah.
There goes the plot. And now your plan might blow up in your face. Because this is also going to hurt the elderly. It's going to hurt disabled people. It's going to hurt just across the board, all types and kinds of hardworking people that might be working a couple of different jobs. You know, it's going to hurt more than just Democrats. So this might be one of those things, when a coyote blows up, mm-hmm. you know, with the
when
dynamite.
When he finally catches, yeah, boom.
Yeah, it could have the opposite effect, you know.
It always does, yeah. Somehow.
Well,
it,
when you said plot evil, you know, evil is as evil does. So, you know, that's not ever changed, but that may not turn out exactly like they think. So we'll have to see how that pans out. Anyway, and I know all eyes, I know many eyes, not all, but many of our eyes in this country as well as globally will be, of course, tuning in to see the clash in the football this afternoon, later on today, the Super Bowl, sports fans, global. And ahead of their performance at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California today during the halftime, Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yeah.
He's a man for all seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, Snoop is one of the smartest, and say what you will, but all age groups know this cat. Mm-hmm. You know, from old ladies and from old gentlemen, they know who he is.
Martha Stewart.
I'm just saying, from the most far end of the earth, mm-hmm. and then generationally, he has managed to rebrand, remanufacture himself.
Him and Shaq,
he is so smart, mm-hmm. smarter than Shaq. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, just I think because Snoop is like he's got a cooking. He's done cooking shows. Yeah. He's done cookbooks. He's done. You know, he's with the music. You know, he has. You know, certainly, generationally, everything like alcohol, smoking weed. I know he's undone, you know, and made that even fashionable because he would smoke right in front of the face and everybody would just.
He's done a gospel album.
Yeah, I mean, it's just this cat has done everything.
He's done
country.
He's done.
And he's got some philanthropy work he's done. Mm-hmm. And
Culture's Little League.
Yeah, I'm like, this dude is just, you know, he's manufactured himself to be, how old is Snoop? About 50-something?
I think he's about my age. I'm 51, so he's right about my age.
Oh, he's not a little puppy no more. He's not a little tiny Snoop. He big Snoop. He old Snoop. Yeah. Well, see, I just wonder how he's going to be when he's old. You know, like, old. Mm-hmm. He'll still manufacture his image
because he loves his fans. So he'll still find a way to connect.
But Snoop and Dr. Dre, how old is Dr. Dre? Your age, then? He's older than you.
He's older than me, so I would say he's probably close to his 60s. Closer to 60.
Dr. Dre? Yeah.
He's got to be at least 56.
Well, his black ain't cracking, I know that.
That money helps.
Yeah. And, man, it does. Yeah. You can wipe your face down real good if you got some good lotions and things.
Yeah, it takes the wrinkles. It takes some of the wrinkles of worrying, and you can just...
It has smooth skin. You know, yeah, because you can afford to buy whatever
exercise
it takes,
rooms,
right?
Yeah.
Mary J. Blige, how old do you think she is? Well,
she's my age, about 50, 51.
Her black ain't cracking either. She looking good.
She is.
I mean, she looking good.
And she's doing an outstanding job. And another reason why she's expected to do very well because people are loving her right now is because she's starring in Power Book 2.
Oh.
And she's doing an outstanding job in that show.
Of course.
Yeah.
In everything. In all things.
Yeah.
Yeah, she representing for the women.
Mm-hmm. Always have.
Yeah.
Always have.
Thank God for her.
Yeah.
And Kendrick Lamar, how old do you think he is?
He's younger. He represents the newer generation, so he's probably in his
30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eminem, too?
He's probably in his late 40s, I would think.
Okay, so the hip-hoppers are aging, aren't they?
Yeah, so he's got somebody for every sort of genre, just about.
Mm-hmm. They might not be humping that hard in 10 years. Just kidding, y'all. Don't take it personal. But they had a press conference and said that the time has come for hip-hop to take center stage. And Snoop Dogg said at the press conference, this is what it's about.
Yeah, I agree.
And he said this is what hip-hop and the NFL is supposed to be about, representing a change, about moving forward. So we appreciate the NFL for an even entertaining hip-hop, because we know there are a lot of people who wouldn't have hip-hop on the stage. And if it wasn't country, it wasn't going to play.
You're right about that.
Because if it wasn't, right, it wasn't twanging, it wouldn't happen.
This is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. It's huge.
On many levels. Another level why it's a big deal is because that genre of hip-hop, like the 90s to early 2000s, has not, well, there are some radio stations that have made that a format, but that has gone away. Mm-hmm. And you've got this new stuff that, let's call it stuff. Mm-hmm. but so what they're saying is that there are some radio stations that do carry and still play specialized in sort of that old school slash hip, that middle, that hip hop from the 90s and 2000s, mm-hmm. and is doing extremely well as a format.
Oh yeah,
probably even better than the new stuff, because that's where the buying power is. But so they're trying to kick down that door and say, just because we're older, you can't make us irrelevant.
Well, they're not irrelevant. You know, they're the heroes and sheroes of it.
Yes.
You know, they're the legends of it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And it's the same way that, you know, the hip-hop community reveres and honors them the same way we do our R&B stars and everything. So that's just the way genres are.
Yeah.
You know, so...
But it's corporate, again, there's that word, that makes those decisions and not the fans.
Yeah, because they can.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
they
That's the underlying fight that's going on with why these particular artists are at the Super Bowl for the halftime show.
Not because they're at the top of their games?
Well...
Because they're legends and they're business.
Because they're legends, and this is an opportunity to yet show again that you can't throw them away. You can't throw away that genre.
Well, and I would say further, it's the NFL also trying to clean up on aisle two. Okay, just, we love black people. Let me show you how. Hot dog, we get ready to bring them out. We're going to bring out Snoop Dogg.
That's a coincidence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A likely story.
It's a coincidence. It's a good thing they've got this going on.
It's definitely a cleanup.
That's helping Roger Goodell big time.
Oh, yes. Hey, let's go. Let's get funky now, y'all. Let's break it down hip-hop style. But you got to throw Eminem in there, you know. Make it palatable. You think they're going to wear a cowboy hat? I don't know. In L.A.? The hip-hop legend dudes? No, I doubt it. Oh, man. But it's going to be an awesome show. Dr. Dre, I quote his comments, saying we're going to open more doors for hip-hop artists in the future. And making sure that the NFL understands this is what it should have been a long time ago. Go on and preach it, Dr. Dre. we're going to show exactly how professional we can be, how dope we can be on stage, and how exciting we are going to be to the fans. And there will be 100,000 people watching, more than, for the first time, so I would say all eyeballs will be definitely on seeing what they do and showing us what they're working with. The show, which is being produced in part by Jay-Z's entertainment and sports company, Roc Nation, as I mentioned, will also star Eminem, but it will not be the first to include rap music. The genre has taken a rocky roundabout path to headliner status at the Super Bowl, with this year's event coming at an increasingly fraught moment for the NFL regarding race. And whoop, there it is. Now we're coming up to the very tip top of the hour. Our book for the 8 o'clock hour is The Short Bible, a chronological summary of the Old and New Testament. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.